Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, not my text. This is just a jumping off place. We're going to go to Matthew and chapter 8, and I'm going to try to preach a good portion of that chapter. But the topic is very obvious in the reading of Hebrews in chapter 11. Anybody that is even a casual Bible student will know that I'm going to preach on faith this morning. And it's our highest calling, not only to be saved by faith, but to live by faith. And that's the harder part of the two. Salvation's already been provided by Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews in chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the confidence of things hoped for. It is the assurance of things hoped for. And the whole deal about faith is the object of our faith. I know many are sitting back thinking right now, how can I have the kind of faith that is described in Hebrews in chapter 11, Jesus implored us to have throughout the Gospels and throughout his ministry and the preachings of Paul and the preachings of Peter and the preachings of John. They talked about this walk by faith. How can I have that kind of faith in my life? And that's kind of what I want to preach on this morning. And the object of your faith, you got to understand this before I get to the text, is so important. The object of my faith and your faith, if we're going to really count for God, has got to be God. If my faith is in a football team, sooner or later it is going to fail. If my faith is in a man, sooner or later he's going to let me down. If my faith is in some denominational dogma, sooner or later, my faith is in money. Sooner or later, it's all going to be gone. The object of our faith is what is going to make or break us. Now, the obvious answer is the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have assurance. Therefore, I have confidence. You say, well, how do I get that kind of faith in Jesus? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I have assurance. I have confidence. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. I know that I know that I know that I'm born again. These things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. These things, the Bible. So my faith is going to be increased. And by the way, that's why there are so many people in the family of God with very little faith. Because there's very little Bible study. Very little time in the book. And you know, you just kind of grit your teeth and you think, I'm going to make it on my own. You aren't. You aren't. You need Christ. Illustration. 1984. Every once in a while I think of it. 1984, that fall morning in October, it was a Saturday. I remember the smell. I could smell the fall. You were talking about that, Pastor Bill, last Sunday night. Mom had been doing some canning, so I had that smell in my... I was out doing some visitation, myself and another man. 1984, Saturday morning. I was going to stop at Mom's and Dad's and have a cup of coffee, and we're going to move on. And after a few visits, we were leaving the home, leaving the house, and a neighbor lady come running, all out of breath, hyperventilating, couldn't understand what she was trying to say. She was yelling, I thought she was saying shot. Shot. Someone's been shot. I said, what are you saying? And then I understand her to say, shocked. Someone had been electrocuted. So I went running to the next door neighbor or next door house. And of course, we knew the people that were there. And as I was just about there, and John was behind, I don't know how I was in front of John running, because John was actually pretty fast. But Dad comes staggering down the driveway, and staggering would be the right word, because the bottom of his feet were blown out with the electricity that went through his body. And he pointed up to the well casing where my brother Jody was laying on the ground. and he'd already died. We tried CPR, we worked on him a long time, and I said all that to say this. I found out in the fall of 1984 that my God was big enough to get me through any tragedy in my life. He was my kid brother. I loved him. He never said a cross word to me ever. He was the ideal little brother, quite a bit younger than me. And I borrowed $10 from him the night before to go to a football game. Jody was just always there for me. At the funeral, my mom and my dad were rocks. Some of you have been in that deep valley where you bury a child. They were a rock. Their faith in God was so strong. Over 50 people responded to Christ and got born again at the salvation, at the time of salvation, the altar call, and received Christ as their Savior at the little tin tabernacle over there in Rudyard. Man, what a funeral service that was. I cried and cried and cried. But Mom and Dad, they were a rock. I confess to you, I cried myself to sleep every night for weeks. My heart was so broken. But God was enough. And if you ever get in that kind of circumstance, you say, man, I wish I had that kind of faith. There's one place to get it. It's the Word of God. There's one place that you can go and I can go where we will be strengthened. I quote the verse again because we're not going to have time to turn to it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know why this church is growing? God is honoring His Word. It's the Word of God that is proclaimed, and people are coming to Christ. It will continue to be that way. If we ever get away from that, we'll fall by the wayside along with so many others. Your faith has got to be in an immutable, that's an unchanging, omnipotent, that is an all-powerful God. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation in life, you will find, no matter what the storm, that Jesus Christ is enough. And you'll have faith to get through that valley, no matter how deep it is, no matter how dark it is. If you'll have your faith, if you have just have faith, and that faith will only come by way of the Word of God. Go to Matthew in chapter 8. Matthew in chapter 8. By the way, faith is not a leap in the dark. You read the Word of God and you understand it's not a leap in the dark. It's trusting an omnipotent God, an immutable God. You don't just leap out and do your own thing. That's a leap in the dark. Faith is trusting in the known will of God. That's faith. Therefore, confidence. Therefore, assurance. I read in the Bible right and wrong. I know what the Word of God, I know what the will of God is, so I trust Him. That is not a leap in the dark. A leap in the dark is, I want to do my own thing. I'm just going to leap out there and whatever happens, happens. That's a leap in the dark. But you know God by reading the Scriptures. Foolishness is jumping off into the dark. Foolishness is ignoring the known will of God because it's revealed in the Scripture. I'll go to Matthew now. I know you're already there. Matthew in chapter 8. Jesus had just gotten through finishing the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. It says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. I want to say this, haven't said this in a while. All around us are people that are hungry for the truth, hungry for the very Word of God. And there are few and far pulpits across this state of ours that are now proclaiming the Word of God. Line upon line and precept upon precept. And nobody's patting anybody in the back here. You got a couple of good preachers up here on the platform. And we got good Sunday school. We got to continue in the Word of God. And God will build His church. That's what He promises. Jesus came down from the mountain and great multitudes followed Him. There's a hunger. And behold, there came a leper. A leper. This is a man who is hopeless. Helpless. Incurable disease. What a picture of salvation. This leper came and worshiped Him. Came to Jesus and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. understood that Jesus was deity. He said, Lord, if you will, I know you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, total and complete. Picture of salvation, instantaneous, immediately. Translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Translated from being a child of the devil to a child of God because of Jesus Christ, because of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would say this, you may have a personal situation in your life, go a step beyond salvation. There might be some tragic thing going on in your life right now. Jesus Christ is enough. If you would just have the faith that this leper had, if you or I could just somehow grasp, this is God, Lord, deity, the Son of God. If you would will it, I know it'd be done. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou cleansed. And immediately, he was made clean. If you're here today and don't know Christ as your Savior, God wills that you be born again. He's not willing that any should perish. If you'll call upon him today, he will save you. He will give to you eternal life. That phrase, born again, is right out of the Bible. Those are the words of Jesus. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. Being born again is just repenting of your sin and coming to Jesus. He's done all the work. You're hopeless. You're helpless. You're a broken man, a broken woman, part of a broken people. Jesus will make you whole. Jesus will cleanse you of all your sin. And you'll be born again. As a Christian, you got a hopeless, helpless situation, and it's personal. It's you. If you'll just turn to God, you too can be made whole. And God will help you no matter how deep and how dark the valley is. How many here have lost a son or a daughter? You put them in the grave. You buried them. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, there's a few here this morning. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe. Not most of us. I put myself in that spot emotionally. That'd be tough. That would be, you say, oh, you don't know how hard I got it. Have you buried one of your kids yet? If that ever happens, if that ends up being your lot in life, as a child of God, you're going to find out that God is enough. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God says, I'll prepare you for that if you'll just read the scripture. Follow me. Verse 4, Jesus saith unto him, I'm back in Matthew in chapter 8 again. See, thou tell no man. That's kind of strange unless you understand what is going on here. Jesus did not want to make a political statement as yet to the nation Israel. He wasn't ready. That would come shortly hereafter, but he wasn't ready to present himself as the Messiah yet. But he did go about healing people, and he did. You say, why the miracles? Two reasons. Number one, compassion. He cares about sinners. This leper came to him with a broken heart and nowhere to turn, and the Son of God knew he could take care of him, and he did. Number one was compassion. Number two, authenticity of the message. Not that Jesus needed authenticity, but those around him needed authenticity. So he healed people. We're going to read a several right here in this chapter. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, and this was north of the Sea of Galilee, there came unto him a centurion. This is a soldier, a Roman soldier. So there was a Roman garrison in the city of Capernaum, the village of Capernaum, because this was a place they collected taxes. And the Roman garrison was there for protection and protection of the people and to represent Caesar of Rome. This centurion, even though he's a man of authority and has power and position in society, did not have answers. And he was a kind man because he had a slave, he had a servant, and the servant had the palsy. And the palsy means he was paralyzed in some way or another. And I don't know exactly why it happened. We're not given those details. But this centurion, this soldier, this commander of soldiers, cared about his servant. And so he went to Jesus on behalf of his servant. You may have family members that are out of touch with God. And you can go to Jesus on their behalf, just as the centurion did. Beseeching him. This is a man of authority begging the Son of God a Jewish carpenter, a man of humility, begging him, saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Notice again the centurion used the word Lord, recognized deity. This chapter will end with a great truth concerning that, but recognizing deity. There are a lot of people in the family of God that forgot that Jesus is Lord. There are a lot of people that live life, loose lifestyles that aren't pleasing to God and just forget that Jesus is Lord. He's more than Savior. He's Lord. And the centurion says, "Lord," look what he says here, "I'm not worthy." Let me read verse 7. "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him concerning the servant." Look at the faith of the centurion. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." In my Bible, I wrote the word faith, exclamation mark, and I got it circled. That's faith. "Jesus, you just speak the word. You don't even need to come make the trip back to my house." This is a Roman commander. Can you see him? Roman uniform, the garb, his dress, down on his knees. "Jesus, Lord, you just speak the word. I'm not worthy to have you in my house. You just speak the word and he'll be healed." Verse 9 says, "For I'm a man of authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, I can see him turning around and speaking to the people that are with him, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." Great faith. Again, the centurion understood deity. He understood sovereignty. He understood the lordship of Jesus Christ. And even though he was a soldier of Rome, he begged the Savior sent from heaven. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And what he's saying in verses 11 and 12, Jesus teaching his people that are following him that the gospel is a worldwide gospel. It crosses all ethnic groups. It crosses all tribal people, all skin color. It crosses, because everybody's a child of Adam, and everybody is in need of the truth and in need of the gospel. And that's just so big. It's huge. And as a people of God, it'd be good for us to understand that and remember that as well. Verse 12 or verse 13 says, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." You may have a situation or a circumstance that's personal. You may have a situation or a circumstance that is on behalf of a family member. You just turn to God. Then we read of Peter's mother-in-law. Some deny that Peter was married. Can you imagine choosing to have a mother-in-law and not have a wife? That don't make any kind of sense, does it? Verse 14 says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever." This is Peter's mother-in-law. And by the way, archaeologists have found what they believe is Peter's house in the village of Capernaum today. And his mother-in-law is sick. It says in verse 15, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." Just a touch. Just a touch of Jesus. Of Christ will meet all your needs. If you and I could just get close to him, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Let me read verses 18 through 22 very quickly. "And now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him before he gets in the boat, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." There's a price for leadership. If you're really going to be set apart for God, it's going to cost you something. This is what Jesus told this scribe. So there they are getting ready to get in the boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. And a scribe comes running up to him and says, "I want to follow you. I want to go with you. I'll go wherever you go." Verse 20, "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, And the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. If you're going to be a true disciple, you got to be all in. I know that sounds really harsh right there. But Jesus taught, if you have a love for God like you ought to have and I ought to have, it will make our love for our brethren look like hate. It'll make our love, it was comparative language. It'll make my love for my children look like hate, the love I have for God. He never told us, and in the parallel passage, he doesn't say hate your brethren. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, you make me preeminent. You make me your first love. Your forever love. Your foremost love. May it never fade away. Verse 23 says, and when he entered into the ship, he finally gets to the ship. Now understand this, he's been up on the mountain. He's been preaching on the mountain. The Sermon on the Mount covered all kinds of ground, answered all kinds of questions. He comes down from the mountain, a great multitude is following him. He continues to teach them. He heals the sick along the way. He heals the leper. He heals the centurion soldier, his servant who's miles away. He heals him. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. It just goes on, and he's meeting the needs of the people. Physically, he's exhausted. Physically, the humanity of Jesus Christ is all in. It's all spent. I can't imagine and he was a man's man. You know, you get done preaching one sermon and you preach it hard, you're spent. Man, at the end of Sunday, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to bed right now. They tell us that in a 30 to 40 minute message, if you preach it right, you spend 8 hours of nervous energy. Now, if you just get up there and read something, that's a big book report, that's different. But if it's compassionate, if you're actually preaching, if you're anointed of God, Jesus is spent physically. He's got to be just dead on his feet. And matter of fact, he gets in the boat and he goes to sleep. Let's read it. Verse 23 says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Now, this is the Sea of Galilee. I'm almost done, so just stay with me here. The Sea of Galilee is surrounded by a mountain range all the way around. Storms would come in off the mountains and just hit that sea quicker than, I almost said quicker than snot, but I mean quicker than quick. Just hit that, and before you know it, man, you were in a desperate situation. A minute, put the sails down, and they're rowing for shore as hard as they can. This is a great tempest. Now, don't just read that. These are professional fishermen, and they think they're going to die. It's all over. Picture it. Waves are coming in on them from all directions. They're drenched. Man, they're doing their best to stay in the boat. It says in verse, and sometimes in the storms of life, that is the way it is, isn't it? You do your best just to hang on. You do your best to, the waves coming from this direction and from that direction. There's no rhythm to the waves. They hit you. You get a little bit crossed up, and then a wave hits you from the side. Man, things aren't going well. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. You know they're bailing, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, I don't think very gently, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. They're having to yell because the wind is so loud, the water, the waves coming from every direction, tossing them about. Jesus, save us. Jesus, we're going to perish. You may get to a storm like that in your life. I pray not. But we're all going to go through certain storms. And it's going to hit you hard. Hard. You call out to God. Verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They just got through listening to Jesus. They've been spending time with him, but they haven't arrived. None of us have. O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds. There's a word study there, and in the parallel passage, rebuked. That's the same language that you and I would use in the same tone of voice in telling a dog to get down. Jesus, in the wind, storm, waves, says to the wind, get down. And immediately, parallel passage, instantaneously, glass. Now put yourself in this place. Let me read it. And he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey God. Fear of the fears that the disciples had was a result of their lack of faith. God taught them a great lesson that day. He spared their lives and taught them a great theological lesson. Let's go back. We'll revisit it one more time. If we're going to do anything for God, we need to do it in faith. That which is not of faith is sin. The only way to please God is in faith. The disciples are in the boat. They're hanging on. The water's coming from every direction. The water's in the boat and filling the boat. And everything, it's we're going to perish. Wake them up. We're going to perish. We perish. Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. I don't know if he yelled it. I don't know that, but he rebuked the sea and the wind. Get down. It stops. All the disciples all of a sudden are standing. Some are laying probably. Some are still hanging on. And everything just stopped. They're drenched with water. Their hair is soaking wet. Everything they got on is soaking wet. They're drenched. They're looking at one another. And the only sound you can hear is the water dripping from the mast down into the water. They look at one another, probably still breathing hard, look at one another and say, what manner of man is this? Fellas, we're in the presence of God. Today, we are in the presence of God. I don't know what the storm is or what the storm will be, but let's not have little faith. Let's trust Christ. You know how the church is going to get built? Faith. You know your family is going to get built and taken care of? Faith. You know God's going to provide for you? Faith. You know how you're going to become a great prayer warrior? Faith. You know how you're going to be able to give to God the way you ought to give and obey the commands concerning tithing and faith promise? Faith. Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The object of my faith, that's where I started this morning, God. How I get that faith? The word of God. Therefore, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 in closing. I'll just read it. Hebrews in chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Everything that's done for God, chapter 11, is by way of faith. Faith is the substance. Substance. Assurance. Confidence. In an omnipotent, immutable God. How did mom and dad, how could they be that rock standing next to the casket of their youngest son? Faith is the substance, assurance, confidence.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.